And we're back.
Welcome to No Direction Beyond, your Starfinder's news, reviews, and interviews podcast. I'm Alexander Agunis, No Direction's everyman gamer, and I'm joined, as always, by the most intrepid Starfinder this side of the galaxy, James.
Hi, I'm James. I used to write Code Switch.
And so, as you know, we have kicked off our month, our quarter-long celebration of Starfinder. For the next 4 months, we're doing all sorts of amazing Starfinder content. We're doing actual plays, we're doing reviews, we're doing everything we possibly can to celebrate this game. And to this end, we have brought the King Kahuna of No Direction here to help us. Everyone, please welcome Ryan Costello.
I'm back, baby. Live on Twitch. Live been too on long. Twitch.
It's been a very long time. And we also, did we get Randall in? Is he zooming in from the Vescarium, James?
No, he's welcome to jump back in whenever he wants, but he's having some tech issues, so we're...
Well, wait, then who's later. That?
Who's that? Pokemon! Who am I? Whoa!
Oh, I like these surprises. Let me just get this off of your face, 1 second.
It's Adobe. Very good. So we're also joined by Randall Meyer, No Direction's resident tech guru, and I believe the creator of the app is called Sage, right, Randall?
Yeah, RPG Sage, yeah.
RPG Sage, right. So Ryan and Randall are both here with us today because they, along with James, are three of the players in the upcoming homebrew one-shots that I'm going to be running for Starfinder 2nd Edition. For Ryan, that is going to be one-shot at Shelley's, and for Randall, that is going to be... Oh my gosh, I changed the name a million times. What did I tell you it was called, Randall? Did I say it was called The Devouring? I hear it. Thankless Devouring, yeah.
Yes, okay.
I went through like 12 names for that one in the lead up for that.
Sounds like I dodged a Devouring. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense though, because like it wouldn't have been as timely for you, because isn't Canadian Thanksgiving way before November?
Yeah, Canadian Thanksgiving comes before Halloween.
Yeah. So it's a Thanksgiving special, but like for you, it'd be like Thanksgiving was a month ago.
Exactly.
How dare you? Well, I'm happy to have the two of you on. I don't think you guys have ever been on Beyond before. Obviously, you've been on No Direction before, but just in case there's anybody who has never listened to any other No Direction content stream besides Beyond, Ryan, can you give a brief overview on who you are?
Sure. I'm Ryan Costello. I founded the No Direction Network back when it was 3.5 Private Sanctuary. And over the years, you know, when Param came on, it's No Direction became the flagship of the network. And I'm not as present as I used to be because I've moved on from a lot of Pathfinder work to be I'm one of the designers of the Essence 20 system, and I'm doing a lot of writing on G.I. Joe and Transformers and My Little Pony. But I'm still, you know, running the network. I'm the director of logistics, and I guess just the director at this point. So, yeah, I'm in some ways Mr. No Direction, even though I'm deep in the shadows at this point.
Mr. No Direction. You know, James and I were actually just talking about how, like, you're probably the most prolific person posting on the blog right now. Because you have to do all the roundups and your regular SS20 article.
I have not done the roundups in too long. And I think in the last roundup that I did, I even said, don't worry, I'm not going to let the roundups slip me by. And then I did it. And I, all right, Monday there's going to be a new roundup and I'm going to get back to that. Because I owe it to the people that are contributing to the website. Like the roundups are, first of all, they're good for search engine optimization because it's just that many more pings of the topics that we cover. It's also just a good way of saying, like, if you've missed any topics, here's everything in a catalog that you can look over for the last 2 weeks. So, all right, I'm going to bring it back on Monday. Alex, you've guilted me into it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I know a thing or two about being exceptionally busy.
You know what? It's actually a much dumber reason that I let it drop is that I needed to update my banner, and I never did. And it was like a mental roadblock of just like, oh, shoot, that's the old banner. And then I just could not write the blog that week. So this weekend, I'll update the banner. Monday, there'll be the blog. Look at all the things you're adding to my to-do list, Alex.
As somebody with ADHD, that like vibes with me. That is, there are many things that I've chosen not to do because there was a small task that I have to do as a prerequisite first. I feel that. Randall, can you give our watchers, listeners, anybody else who might be enjoying our content, a brief rundown on who you are?
Yeah, so Randall Meyer, as mentioned, I actually joined No Direction years and years ago as a blog writer. Started with Groundbreaking. It was just basically a world-building blog for Pathfinder, rolled into Pathfinder 2. Somewhere in the middle, I started out terraforming and did about a year's worth of Starfinder world building. Mm-hmm. And then had kids and kind of my time went away. Now my spare time is mostly spent on my Discord bot, RFPG Sage.
Nice. And we have that bot in our Discord server, right? The chillest Discord for people who enjoy Starfinder and Pathfinder content that you can access by going to nodirectionpodcast.com and clicking the Discord link.
Yes.
Cool. Now I don't have to do that at the end. All right. Now, as a brief rundown and a reminder of what we're all here for, I'm running two one-shots. Ryan is going to be in the first one in October. Randall is going to be in the second one in November, and James is going to be in both of them. And I figured, hey, you know, you guys are going to have to make characters anyway. Wouldn't it be fun to make characters live on No Direction? So that's what we're here for. Ryan is going to be making a first level character. Randall, you start at first level too. We're still working out on what the level of that one's going to be. I might do it a little bit higher just to match the Pathfinder one shots. And James, I would like you to do your character for the game in October because that makes the most sense. So that's maybe a first level character too. Or yeah, second level character.
Making a baby
character. Ryan and James, that's me level two. Forgot because of the secret reason of one of our guests, the joke that has to happen.
Level two.
You already leveled up. You're a great adventurer. So, just assuming that you people who are listening don't know about how character creation works in Paizo's 3 action system, whether you're playing Pathfinder 2nd edition or you're playing Starfinder 2nd edition, character creation can kind of be summarized with the letters ABC, in that you need an ancestry, you need a background, and you need a class. And you're going to be picking up a lot of things as you go, but those are kind of like the big 3 choices that you make when you're making a character. So I've always found that the easiest way to go into the process is to have like a blank idea of what you might want to be and then kind of pick from there. So James, I know that you have an idea for your C, for your class, right?
Yes.
And I don't know if Ryan or Randall have any ideas yet. I think
the vaguest of notions.
Very good. How about you, Randall?
I have two more or less ABC combos that I'm waffling between. They're both androids though.
Okay. So you have the A and James has the C. All right. So let's start with ancestries. Starfinder 2nd edition is compatible with Pathfinder 2nd edition in terms of ancestries. Although in general, the Starfinder ones tend to be a little bit more powerful in one specific way, and that Starfinder gives quicker access to flying through ancestral abilities. When in Pathfinder 2nd edition, like you have to take like 3 options across 1st, 7th, 13th level in order to be able to fly as part of your ancestry, but like Starfinder just gives it to you. Like play a Barathu, be a giant flying jellyfish, you'll love it. But other than that, it's basically the same. I am assuming that the 3 of you all want to play ancestries from the Starfinder core player core playtest rulebook. Is that accurate?
Yes, I want to stay completely within the Starfinder playtest rulebook. And I'm just going to say, I fully expect to embarrass myself with just how far my 2E knowledge has fallen in the last couple of years. So I'm going to be asking some questions that are pretty basic. And I hope that you're there for me, Alex, because
I got you.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm sure Randall can help, too, because I think Randall has played more. I mean, I played a good amount of 2E, but like Randall breathes the system.
I do know a lot of 2E.
I will tell you any help I can get.
Cool. So let's start with Ryan then. Do you have an idea for what kind of ancestry you might want to play?
So I've narrowed it down to 3. And for the same reason that I'm sticking to the playtest book, I am sticking to fairly straightforward ancestries. Because I don't want to get lost. I don't want to confuse myself.
You don't want to get lost in the hot sauce. I understand. That happened to James and I.
Perfect. I remember. And I loved it. All right, so my first option was Android, because it feels like the majority of my Starfighter concepts across both editions have been Android-related. And there is one character that I was always enamored with and I never got to play, and that concept was an Android. So that's number one. And since Randall and I aren't in the same game, we don't have to worry about too many androids.
Nope, there's never too many robots. That's fine.
All right. Second one, hold on to your hats. Human.
Whoa.
I know.
Wait, human male paladin?
No, maybe human fighter?
Okay, there we go. Go on.
What is there to say? Human will fit any character concept, and so it is just the best safety net. And then the, I guess the weirdest of the three options I was considering was Isoki.
Okay. All right.
I like the little guys. It's not exactly gnomish, but it does give me a chance to be a little more playful with how I play the character.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody likes sticking grenades in their mouth and spitting them out at people. That's a thing that Isoki can do in Star Wars.
I know they can do it. Can they do it from first or second level?
I don't think they could do it at first level. I think it's something you have to build for.
Just try and stop me from sticking a grenade in my mouth, Alex.
No, I thought you can get cheek pouch right off the bat.
You can take cheek pouch at first level.
It is the first ancestry feat on the list. Excellent.
Yes. You can't do the spit your grenade, but I can't stop you from having a grenade in your mouth and pulling the pin. Like, that's on you. That's totally
throwing the
you.
Pin, keeping the grenade in the mouth.
No, you can spit it out. It's just a regular action, not a specialty action.
That's true. Just a standard action. You just spit the grenade out and throw it. It's like, there's like two actions. You're fine. Now, let's go to Randall. You told us you already had an ancestry.
Sorry, Alex, could I just chime in and say that if chat has any opinions about which of the three ancestries I've narrowed it down to, please let me know.
You got it. Brian has given the ability to help you influence what he plays in his game. If you are listening live, which we do No Direction Beyond in front of a live Twitch audience, feel free to chime in and tell Ryan what he should play or maybe what he shouldn't play.
Ooh, both. And if you would like to vote, call in on the number on the screen.
We put it in invisible, transparent text.
My phone is ringing. How did you?
All right. Well, while chat is getting the time to decide Ryan's fate, why don't you tell us a bit what you had in mind, Randall?
Well, actually, I was also looking at either Android or Isoki.
Okay.
Probably for completely different reasons. So I think what we'll do is whatever Ryan is tasked with, I'll do the opposite.
Oh, okay. All right. So you could pick both of them. Chat, you can do it. You got it. Which one is going to be an android and which one's going to be a Isoki? Very good stuff. James, I imagine that you're not going to allow your character choice to be at the whims of our live Twitch audience.
No, I want to be a dinosaur. I'm going to be a Vesk.
Tell me, what made you decide to play a Vesk in this game?
Well, when I was 6 years old, I either wanted to be an astronaut or a dinosaur. And, you know, I'm too fat to be an astronaut, so dinosaur's all that's left.
I mean, in Starfinder, you could be both at the same time.
Astronaut's a job.
Okay, all right. So we have the ideas for our ancestry down. Now, one of the most important things to note when you're going through your ancestry is what attribute it gives you a bonus to. In Starfinder Second Edition, there are no ability scores in the sense of like a solid number that converts to a modifier. You just use the modifier. So that way, the idea is that if you're like a newer player trying to play the system, you don't have to like memorize that sliding scale of, oh, a 10 is a 0, a 12 is a 1 kind of thing. How many increments of 2 above 10 are you? It makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, early on in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, when I just realized that the stats really have no meaning compared to the bonuses now, I was like, why are we still holding on to these stats? And yeah. So, you know, the remastered forced their hand a little bit, but I'm glad they made this decision.
And they got rid of them.
While we're on the subject, I'm looking over this character sheet you sent me, and under each attribute it says partial boost, and I don't know what that is.
That accounts for the above 18s, where 19, you don't get the extra plus. You have to go to 20 to, you know, but it takes two attribute bonuses to get to the next. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So luckily for a level 2 character, we're not going to have to worry about partial boost. Every boost you get is going to give you a full plus 1 to your amount, to your attribute. It's going to be great. Now, every species in Starfinder has like two ability scores associated with it, and one of them also has a free one, with the exception of humans. Humans only get two free, if I recall correctly, because two of the boosts for the other races is offset by a flaw. So like, for example, we talked about Android. Androids get a boost to dexterity and intelligence and get a free one of their choice, but they have to take a charisma flaw. Whereas if you're a human, you just get two free boosts. So if I'm remembering this rule set correctly, and now I'm going to double check and find out that I'm wrong. It's going to be great. No, I'm correct. I did it. Haha. So with that in mind, it's helpful to know, like, to have an idea of what sort of class you're going to take. You can't stack those boosts. Like, if you have a charisma boost, like, you can't go higher than an 18. So, like, you don't have to worry too much about picking an ancestry that has your stat, because you can always just use that free boost to, like, go for it. But, like, knowing, like, oh, I'm going to play this character that needs intelligence and dexterity, maybe I'll pick an android because they get both. And then I could feasibly have, like, a 16 and an 18 be pretty good. It's helpful to just kind of, like, have that plan in the back of your mind. So with that in mind, Ryan, what were you thinking for the class you wanted to play? I know you said fighter, but...
Oh, yeah, I was kind of, you know what, I wasn't as joking around as I'm kind of landing on. So if I play the android concept I had was a gladiator. Okay. But if I don't play an android, then I am leaning towards some kind of rifleman or sharpshooter. So okay. Either way, I think we're talking about the soldier or possibly the operative, right?
Yeah. So in Starfinder, the operative, so in first edition Starfinder, the operative was kind of like a rogue character where they were like the mid-range BAB with like lots and lots of skills. In Starfinder second edition, the operative does not have as many skills. They are a specialist in, like, you know, it's like I have a specific skill set for, like, the spies, and they're very, very combat oriented. They get, like, an ability called aim where they just take an action and then their next strike against that target does essentially sneak attack damage without really needing to roll or do anything special. They are very good with sniper weapons. They're very good at dealing damage in general. Whereas the soldier is, it's kind of like a heavy in Team Fortress. They're like the guy with the big weapon and the heavy armor and lots of hit points. And you could be melee. You can be, you could have, like, your Gatling gun. There's, like, a whole bunch of ways to play the soldier now based on feedback from the field test. But at the end of the day, the class is about getting in someone's face and using your abilities to suppress their actions. So, like, you might do something and they get a condition called suppressed, and that penalizes their attack rolls and other rolls, and then you get benefits against things that you've suppressed. So it depends really on which play style you think you might like better.
They both sound pretty good, and I'm going to think about it for now. I don't want to commit to either one just yet.
Cool. James, commit to one.
Solarian.
You got it. All right. For those of you who don't know, the Solarian is kind of like the Jedi of Starfinder. They have mystical supernatural abilities based on, like, the rotations of cosmic heavenly bodies in the solar system. And they can use that to either manifest, like, defensive armor or, like, a solar flare that they can shoot at people, or just a big weapon that they can bash people with. And in first edition, you had to make that choice at first level, and getting more was very difficult. In Starfinder, you can just kind of swap as you go. It's much more open. It's much more flexible in how you do it. And so it sounds like James is going to channel the violence of the spheres.
The spheres are going to give me a knife.
A knife! That reminds me of the meme of, like, the little kid who's, like, running behind the pool. What you got there, James? A knife! How did he get that?
But I'm a dinosaur, too.
And Randall.
Hold on, I want to bounce something off James then. If you are talking about a knife, you are talking about a melee Solarian. I don't know what the ranged options are there. So if I were to go with the soldier, it would be a melee soldier. Is that too much melee? Because I know Starfinder is very ranged, or would we actually complement each other?
Not at all. I believe in no paradigms, only melee. Also, soldiers do more debuffing than Solarian would. So there's other things that you do that would make melee more effective. And I'm also convinced that every game can be boiled down to just stabbing somebody in an alley. So I'm all for it.
I mean, I would be thwacking them with a hammer, but, like, they're stabbing openings.
Yeah, exactly. You hit him in the stab wounds. Perfect.
Okay. So here's my thoughts on it as a GM who has not run Starfinder 2nd Edition yet. I think that when you have only one melee character and you get into melee against somebody who could also fight in melee, there's only one person for that dinosaur or whatever to attack, and it's you. So like having two people in the melee means that now I have to split my attention, and I might even end up splitting my attacks to try and like get out of that really bad situation. So like I actually think there is an advantage to having multiple people in melee, but if you don't want to get hit, being able to take cover and shoot from cover is very helpful. And that's definitely like something that the operative is very good at. They have a whole bunch of actions based around like you can shoot and then immediately take cover afterwards. Very helpful. All
right. And anybody can use a gun, but not anybody can fight in melee.
It's true. You know, some people just don't have the sauce for it, you know. They're like me, and they take one sip of that hot bomb and they're just out of the count. It's good stuff.
Alex, you're obsessed.
I am. No, listen. Honestly, it was like a transformative experience for me. My mind was open to the possibilities of the multiverse. If I was playing in this game, I'd probably be a witch warper of the sauce. It'd be great.
Now, responded to the show.
that's fair. So, Randall, what are you thinking for your class?
So, I was planning Envoy. I had forgotten that. I think this playtest was done before the remaster, which made it so that any ancestry can use the +2/+2. So I was going to use that option to not have the charisma penalty as an envoy for an android. But I'm thinking that Ryan might get the android, so I might be an Isoki. So I think Isoki will be fine as an envoy.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is that anybody can talk to people, but can you talk to people well?
Me? Yes.
Yeah, that is the real question. So I'm looking at chat, and I'm going to give us, let's say, 2 more minutes for people to tell us what they want Ryan and or Randall to play in this game. Give us your answers. They will follow you. Do it. Test them. It'll be great.
That window may be closing because I am starting to form my idea.
Uh-oh. So you got to tell Ryan what to do before the ideas really solidify in his mind. Now, with that, you guys have basically picked the basics of like the ABs, the ABCs. The last one you haven't really done is background. And now for background, how background works is that it's made, you kind of pick like a major job or theme your character had, like major a walk job. Of life. Yeah, essentially. It's like, what did your character do before they became an adventurer? Or what does your character do when they're not adventuring? Like maybe in Pathfinder, it's like, are you an innkeeper? Are you this? Are you that? Starfinder kind of had this idea first before second edition with their theme mechanic in first edition Starfinder. So a lot of the old themes you'll see in here, you'll see like Icon, you'll see Bounty Hunter, you'll see like the Getaway Driver, Pilot, Ace Jockey, stuff like that. And so like there's the big thing you want to look for is, does my background give me an ability boost that complements my attributes that I want? And most of them give one specific attribute and a free, if I recall correctly. So it's pretty easy to line them up in most cases. The other thing that you get is that you'll get a lore skill, which is like a super specific. It's like a it's one of the old almost like the old knowledges from first edition Pathfinder, where it's like, oh, this is something I know in a very specific field. So like you might not have engineering is a skill, but you might have lore robotics and you know a lot about robots. You don't know anything about building bridges, but you know robots. And then the last thing your background gives you is like a specific skill feat. And I believe some of the skill feats in this book are going to be printed in the Starfinder rules, but are currently in Pathfinder player core. So they don't appear printed in both places to save on like cost of the playtest book. But a lot of the feats are actually in the book. So it should give you a whole bunch of things to do and cool stuff to have. So it's good to have an idea of like what you might want. And taking a glance at those backgrounds is very helpful. And it is currently 2 minutes have passed. I'm going to close. It doesn't look like, if I'm not crazy, it doesn't look like anybody has any preferences. I think they want you guys to decide your fates yourself. So, what were you thinking, Ryan? What do you got?
I'm finally committing to one of my original concepts for a Starfinder character.
Ooh.
So, it was an android gladiator who has like an LED face, and he originally had his win-loss record displaying on his face, but he only set it to one character, so after 9 wins, he went back to 0 and kind of became a joke in the gladiator circuit. Oh, no. And so the character's name is the Big O, and that would mean that I'm looking at a android soldier athlete, or android athlete soldier if we're going ABC. I was just looking up the deadlift skill feat, which is what I would get for as an athlete, which doesn't seem to be in the player core. So maybe it's in the Starfinder book. Let's check the feats chapter.
Are you a deadlift? Let's see. It'll be fun. I'm going to glance quickly.
There we go. Deadlift. So for 1 minute, you can carry 4 more bulk than normal before becoming encumbered. The amount you can carry increases to 6 at expert. Anyway, when the benefit of this feat ends, you become fatigued for 10 minutes.
Ooh, yeah.
I feel like that could be useful, and it is definitely with the flavor of my character.
You just licked them. It's like those old things that you would see about like parents and their kids being stuck under cars, and they go.
So I was more picturing in X-Men 2 when Colossus is just carrying around a gigantic TV.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's very good. All right, so Randall, if Ryan is playing the android, does that mean you've committed to Yusoki?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what are you going to pick for your background?
All right, so I'm not just playing an Isoki. I'm playing a Prismeni Isoki.
Oh, you want to tell the class what a Prismeni is?
So Prismeni are creatures that were born in the Drift or somehow linked to the Drift.
And plugged in, I believe, is the term.
Yes. And they have Drift-related powers and other fun things. I chose going on and sticking with the kind of theme. The envoy I was looking at was the Hotshot pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think I'll have to double check exactly. I forget what that particular thing's called, but background spacefarer.
Ooh.
So he's basically just been in a ship in the Drift far too much. Is it because he was born there or is he drawn to it? Who knows? But he spends way too much time in the Drift.
Mm. Well, that's good. Because you might, I mean, you're not going to need it for your, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep that in mind. And James, what were you thinking for your background?
So I was looking for something that was like Sensate that maybe had like a variety in your boost there for things that matter to me. But then I thought being a pirate would be funnier.
I love it. So you're a dinosaur space pirate. That sounds great.
Who's
going to
stop me? I'm a dinosaur with a knife and armored scales on a ship. What are you going to do?
They're going, oh, no, it's the dinosaur. I love it. Okay. And so what do you happen to know which skill feat being a space pirate gives you?
Trained in intimidation, and you get the piracy lore skill. You also gain the group coercion skill feat.
Oh, your favorite. You loved yelling at people to do what you want.
Put the money in the bag. Run the pockets.
Will you say it just like that? I kind of love it. Put the money in the bag. Run them pockets. Very good.
Like a helpful desk attendant. No, I can't.
No, you're gonna have to actually like shout and scream, and then you're gonna hate it later because you're gonna be the one to have to edit your own like volume pitch on the it's gonna be great. So what now, looking at all of these decisions that you made, let's rewind a bit to ancestry, because when you are picking your ancestry at level 1, you get to pick a heritage and a ancestry feat. Now Randall has already identified his heritage. He's going to be a Prismeni. You will also get a first level ancestry feat from that nice list. Randall gets to pick either from the list of Yusoki feats or from the list of first level Prismeni feats. He gets 2 lists. James and Ryan gets 1. Have you had a chance to look at your feats to know what you might want, James?
So I was under the idea that because I took the plated vest heritage that was my feat.
Oh no, that's just your heritage. You get both.
Oh, dope. What's the one that lets me get a bite attack?
Let's go take a look at that. That's got to be something Vesk has.
Yeah, Brutal Anatomy.
Okay, cool, good. I was going to say, because Starfinder developer Dustin Knight is in chat, and if you couldn't take a bite
at Vesk.
Hi, Dustin. I was going to say, if you can't bite, instant failure. We're gonna mark that as a failure on this thing, but no, it's there. Good job. Ryan, what are you thinking for your feat and your heritage?
All right, so my heritage, I knew right away I wanted to be an ancient android warrior. Ooh. It perfectly lines up with what I was already talking about, and it's nice and straightforward. So again, I do not want a complicated build. So cool. As a warrior, I'm trained in all simple and martial weapons. Again, I have a hammer in mind, so this will give me a bigger than normal hammer.
A bigger hammer.
And then for Android ancestry feats, for a second I was thinking about emotionless, but no, the whole gimmick is that I'm kind of embarrassed about this glitch that I made in my face. And yeah. So I don't want to be emotionless. So instead I went with Nanite Surge, which feels like something that, you know, when I'm backed against the ropes in a gladiator battle, I would do a Nanite Surge. It is a reaction, gives me a +2 status bonus to the triggering skill test, skill check. It's triggered when you attempt a skill check requiring 3 actions or fewer. So I get that +2 bonus and my circuitry glows, lighting a 10-foot emanation with dim light for 1 round. So yeah, there's story in there. It gets a reaction out of the way right away. I'm the kind of person that likes 1 reaction and I want it right away. And then I never have to worry about juggling, oh, is this the right time for this reaction? Because I might need the other one. No, this will be the only reaction this character ever gets in this build.
Uh-oh. Nobody tell Ryan that soldiers get 1 for free.
Oh, no. What have you done to me?
No. Well, you're allowed to pick. I mean, the 1 soldiers get is essentially a specialized version of Attack of Opportunity. So maybe you'll like it.
Oh, I don't want to miss on Attack of Opportunity.
Yeah, you get that specifically because you're a melee soldier, if I recall correctly. Like, the soldiers that don't take the melee specialization don't get to pick Attack of Opportunity. If I recall, yeah, it's called Punitive Strike. The trigger is when a creature within your reach uses a manipulate action, makes a range strike, uses a move action, or leaves a square during a move it's using. And then it says you get to strike them with your weapon, and if you hit, the target gains the suppressed condition, and if the trigger was a move action, you disrupt their movement. And it doesn't count towards your multiple attack penalty, and your multiple attack penalty doesn't count for the strike. So it's Attack of Opportunity. It's very good. Or I guess it's called Reactive Strike in core now, but it's very good. I would do it. And I mean, the way that I see it is like you could trigger Nanite Surge out of combat and you could trigger Punitive Strike in combat. So it's just like a good binary, you know, like it'll work. You always have one reaction for whatever you're doing.
And you know what? Looking at Nanite Surge, the frequency is 1 per hour. Yeah. And so, you know, once I use that up, I'll still have the other reaction right. For every round.
You'll still get to spend those reactions. You'll have something to do with
it. All right. I'm convinced Nanite Surge is the way to go.
Good. Good. All right. So you guys have your ancestries picked. You have your heritage and your feat picked. You know your background, and that means you know the boost.
Randall didn't do his feat yet.
Oh, you did it. Randall, no. All right, tell us, and which one did you pick?
I chose, part of the reason I chose Prismania is I wanted to have fun with the new stuff in the system, and we are doing this to show people the system.
So I'm guessing you're not taking cheek pouches then?
No. The versatile heritages often have lineages.
Okay.
So as a Prismania, I'm actually going to choose the drift-touched lineage. Okay. And so it just goes with the whole theme of being out in space in the drift far too long. Once per day, I can summon a section of the drift and use it as cover.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Just come here. Let me open a hole to the space reality. Hurry, come here. Block this attack. That's cool. I like that. Very awesome. Okay. So now with that out of the way, you have your ancestry, you have your heritage and your feet. You have your background, you know which skills it gives you, which boost it gives you, and your skill feat for that. Now we have to look at your classes. All of your classes have at least 1 major choice at first level, except maybe, no, yeah, Solarian has 1 too. Because Solarian has to pick like whether they're a balanced Solarian or whether they go all in on 1 side of the force. So looking at it alphabetically, we can take a quick peek and start with Randall. Boy, go. Do you know what you want to pick for your, I guess at Envoy, looking at your class, at first level, the big thing that you get is, oh, that's the Prismany page. I looked at the wrong page, friends.
Yeah, so the Envoys, they get their get them action, they get their size up.
Yeah.
But the leadership style is the one you get to choose.
Yeah, that's like your subclass.
And so again, and for him, I chose Hotshot.
And you also get a feat, right? A first level Envoy feat.
I completely forgot to look at that. I do get an Envoy feat, yeah.
Well, Hotshot is pretty cool. You get trained in piloting, you get Express Driver as a bonus feat, and yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I may have to double check though. I think the background gave me Express Driver, so
Well, I think the rule is that if you would get the thing from multiple sources, you could
just same as skills.
Yeah, I think okay. So. I'm not 100% sure that's how it works for skill feats, but like I can't imagine that like
I'll double check that later.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they would just like say, "Oh, guess what? You don't get a feat from one of these places. Enjoy." Right. We could take a look at that later, but that's a good question. Because I know that the rule for trains proficiency is that if you already have it, you get a new one. Now, what did you have in mind for your envoy feat? I know you said you hadn't thought much about it yet.
No, so that's kind of the thing here. I don't want him to be, because the whole background was he's been in the Drift too long, but of course he'll be working with other people, so I don't want him to be completely, you know, solo. So I was kind of wanting to lean into the envoy's charismatic team building stuff. So I was thinking about the watch out reaction.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, or the quip, because, you know, it's always fun to demoralize people, especially when you can laugh at them for getting punched by one of these two.
Listen, like, quip is great. How many times do you just want to roast a man alive and have a feat that tells you you can do it? I like that.
Absolutely.
But watch out is pretty good too, because watch out is basically if one of your friends is going to get hit, you could give them a +2 circumstance bonus to AC. It's exactly. Basically like giving them cover against the attack. It's good.
Exactly. And with them being in melee a lot, I think that can come in handy every round.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you were in Ryan's group, Ryan not being a ranged character with cover wouldn't matter, because you could just yell, "Watch out!" And you'd go, "Oh."
I think I will watch out. Thank you.
I think I will. God, now I'm picturing like a Luther X character from the Umbrella Academy. I think I will do that. It's very good. All right. So it sounds like you have a choice that you gotta weigh, Randall. James, yeah. Have you thought about which first level Solarian feat and which God, what is that cosmic thing you get as a Solarian called?
Manifestations.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Yeah. I was looking at the solar shot, the photon, or the graviton attuned, because there's a chance to trip. And that's funny.
Oh, no, though that's not something you can pick. For the manifestations, you can do all of those. You just have one active at a time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you can just... Yeah, so the ones you get to pick is, if you flip the page to 102, you have to pick a Solarian.
Oh, arrangement. Arrangement, yeah. That's what it was. I was like, arrangement? That, yeah. I choose not to understand that word.
So you can either have a balanced one, which is where you keep photon and graviton in balance. You can have a degradient, which is where you lean into graviton. And you can have radiant, which is where you lean into photon. Now, degradient sounds almost like degen to me, so I figured you'd want to be a degen. But yeah. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, that's 100%. Also, it does crowd control stuff. Mm-hmm. That makes it harder to get away from getting stabbed or bit.
See, I played with James enough that I'm not always right. James surprises me about 73% of the time, but that other 27% of the time, I know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. Degradant.
Sounds good. Do you have any idea for which feat you would want from the list of first level feats? I feel like Solar Rush is an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, I mean, that one's really good. Yeah, that's probably what it'll be out of these options.
Yeah.
Two weapons is a big deal. I don't care about knowing about things. If it bleeds, I can kill it. and I don't need a shield. Shields are for, you know, people that care about getting hit.
This is true. Now, one of the nice things about twin weapons is that when you split your Solarian weapon into two separate weapons, the first one gets, I think it gets agile, right? And so what agile does is it means that like the second strike you do is only -4 instead of -5. And then any subsequent strikes after that is -8 instead of -10. So like if you plan on just doing a flurry of a lot of attacks, dual wielding is very strong. So like that is not a terrible option. It also has the twin trait, which I think gives it a benefit for doing successive attacks with both of them because it's kind of like the same weapon. I don't recall off the top of my head. We'd have to look that trait up. But well,
the reason why I wasn't looking at it is because it says you can do that with your solar weapon. The solar weapons are all melee weapons. And then a knife and then a bite.
Oh, I see. So you want something that you could use in multiple situations because you want to take advantage of the Solarian's ability to like cycle through multiple weapon options.
Right, right. So, yep, just straight. Stellar Rush is probably the best one just to get in there.
That sounds great. I think that's a perfect fit. And now, Ryan, you are left.
Yes.
So the first big thing that you get to pick as a soldier is your fighting style. You have any idea what fighting style you want? Sounds like close quarters for melee, right?
But I actually have to go a step back, because looking at my training, my initial proficiencies, I'm already trained in simple and martial weapons, which means that my android heritage isn't getting me any advantage unless I missed. And I know you kind of said some of those words to Randall, but I was reading something. There's no benefit, right, to getting trained to the same type of weapons in two different places. Okay. So yeah, then,
I don't think so.
Despite it thematically working, I am going to skip on the ancient android warrior, and I'm going to move over to the mod fanatic, which still more or less fits what I was thinking of for my character, just in a more specific flavor, which lets me choose one common armor upgrade with an item level of one or less. And I begin with this armor upgrade already installed in my upgrade slot. I haven't looked over the upgrades. If there's something about, like, something that could replicate my face display idea, I'm definitely taking it regardless of how good of an option it is. But if it really is just anything else that a gladiator might have, that works for me. Well, so
it looks like the level one choices you can pick from, one of them is a glamour projector.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
What's it do?
So the glamour projector says metal rings project holographic images onto your armor, completely hiding its real appearance. Glamour projectors come programmed with preset options, including casual, corporate, and fashion. You can customize your glamour projector using a computer like the one in your comm unit. And then you get the activate glamorize action. You instantly change the appearance of your armor to any set of normal clothes or other type of light or heavy armor. This upgrade is capable only of changing the appearance of your armor, not yourself or the rest of your equipment. I think if you wanted to change your face with that, it'd be fine. Like, you're changing, you're using it to change your, like, emojis, right, on your face.
Yeah. It's not as perfect as I thought when I heard the name. I'll think about that one.
Yeah. So the other really good one, I don't think you need dark vision visor. I think androids have dark vision.
Androids have light vision. I could get dark vision with the feet.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. And then the other option you could pick is called quick release sheath, which is probably really just good for someone who wants to use weapons in general. It says you get a +2 item bonus to stealth checks and to the DCs to hide or conceal an item of no more than light bulk stored inside the sheath. It provides no protection against magic or other methods that might detect the item. You can interact to retrieve or stow the item from the sheath. So if you wanted to hide,
that wouldn't be for my main weapon, but it could be like, oh, if I'm disarmed, oh, my fist is a cestus.
Yeah, or like you just pop a knife out of your wrist.
Okay.
Well, it's like I may be unarmed, but I'm not out of options.
So I've narrowed it down to two. We'll figure out which one I go with. Oh, wait, somebody weighing in. Lava being said, to Ryan's point, I thought some ancestry feats have you treat relevant advanced weapons as martial. Oh, maybe, but I think the route that I've now found myself taking works for me. All right, so.
And it looks like the warrior specifically says that you treat martial and simple weapons as trained. It doesn't say anything about swapping, which is interesting. I feel like it probably should. It feels weird that the warrior android...
It feels like there would be a lot of warrior soldiers, right?
Yeah, it gets no benefit from being a soldier or an operative. Like, so I think that's definitely something we should probably give feedback on, if only there was a developer who was on vacation.
Where's Dustin when you need him?
Right? He's apparently on vacation.
Yeah. So, if only there was some other precedent and some other rules that stated you get proficiency equal to the highest of your proficiencies. So maybe something like that would be a step in the right
direction. Dustin's telling me to fill out the survey.
You can fill out the survey. Wait till after October when...
Yeah, of course. When I've actually played with this character.
Yeah. So I think that So it sounds like we have our ancestry and its heritage and talent done. We have the background picked. We have the basics of our class and all of the options in the class that we need to choose, right? Because you've all...
No, I haven't chose the options within my class. Yeah, well, so first, my fighting style is close quarters, as we were discussing. Yeah.
It's the best one for melee. It's
true. Yeah. So then looking over the feats, it feels like only one of them was really good for melee, and that is the Whirling Swipe.
Ooh.
Which, as long as I'm wielding a two-handed melee weapon, and I plan on having one of those, your melee weapon gains the area burst 5 feet and unwieldy traits until the end of the turn. This is a two-action feat. So, yeah, I'll just be able to swing my hammer around, or I'm actually leaning towards the pain glaive now, not because it's statistically better, but the name is just better than hammer.
Yeah, the pain glaive is cool in the universe. It's like a relatively new weapon that came about from Zahn, Kuthon, and Shalin fusing into one deity called Zahn Shalon. Zahn Shalin. So pretty cool. You know, it's I who doesn't want a chainsaw on a stick? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get you.
I've done it before.
Right. So with that in mind, I know that James and Ryan and Randall, you're going to be playing second level characters, but looking at the time, we're at almost the hour point. So I think I'll let you guys pick your second level stuff as a surprise, and then you can surprise all of the viewers with what you picked for level two for your different like class feats and whatnot.
You get another soldier feat.
You do. It's pretty cool. And you get, I think you get a skill feat too. So you'll have another skill feat to choose from. Now, the other thing that you should know going into this is like attribute allocation, because for the most part, you're going to take all of those attributes that you earned from your ancestry, from your background, from your class, and you're going to allocate them into boosting your scores. If you are playing a Solarian, James, if I recall correctly, it is charisma, it's strength or dexterity is your key score. So that's like the one you want to, was that?
And my boosts are, my boosts are strength and wisdom.
Yes. And when you pick your class, if I remember correctly, I believe you get a boost to the your class's score. So like your class actually gives you a boost. Yeah. So yeah. And then Ryan, as a soldier, yours is actually constitution. So you're very good at being big and beefy. And one of the things that your class does really well, and it's one of the good reasons of picking Whirling Strike, is it makes your attacks into a saving throw DC rather than an attack roll. So you can like essentially use your constitution to attack by boosting that DC because it's your key.
So, all right.
It's pretty cool. You also get to spin around like you're blade storming in World of Warcraft. It's fun. And then Randall, your key stat is charisma. So you get to boost your charisma, get better at all your cool envoy tricks and talking to people.
Absolutely. I'm going to max that charisma out and max every charisma skill. This guy is going to be one fast-talking, weird Hisoki.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be so good. I am excited to see what you do. And then if we were going to continue and finish up, the last thing you would need to do is you would get a chunk of credits and you would spend it on stuff and buy your starting equipment. You'd want to make sure that you'd have a suit of armor. You'd want to have a weapon or two, maybe some like extra items to fill it out. Starfinder is very good about giving you plenty of things to buy. There's like tech, there's like magic items, there's hybrid items, there's augments you can install in your body. Ryan, you're getting a free armor upgrade. Plenty of options to buy. Make sure that you look over that at your leisure, because again, these types of shows are more fun when you still have a surprise or two for the people who watch the character creation episode, you know what I'm saying?
Can I just throw a rules question out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so suppressing fire is one of my soldier class features. It's not even one of the feats that I have to take. Yeah. And it says that if I make an attack with a weapon that has an area trait, such as area fire or auto fire actions, that doesn't sound like it works with my whirling swipe, right?
No, it does. It says as part of Whirling Swipe, it says your weapon gains the area burst 5 feet and unwieldy traits.
All right, perfect. Good. So I was worried that that wasn't going to come into play that much, but no, it sounds like it does.
Yeah. The one thing that I would say is like it's pretty good when you're just swinging your sword and now all of a sudden they have to dodge your big mountain body. And now, and if they even if you hit them, they're suppressed and it's like, oh, well. Enjoy your life. I'm penalizing you. Very good.
As many as you want. Go for it, James. You burn them.
So you don't get one from the class.
You don't get one from the class. You get one free boost from your ancestry and one free boost from your background. Yes. Now, if you're playing a human, humans have two free boosts instead of having two automatic and a flaw.
Are you taking into account the fourth step where you just assign four boosts?
No, I didn't. No, after you pick all of this stuff, you get four more boosts that you can apply anywhere you want freely. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Randall, but at each step of those, you're not allowed to boost the same one twice. Like, correct. If my if I'm a Android and I get Dex in, I can't use my free on Dex or in.
Correct. I believe it's, I mean, you can definitely get an 18 in your primary. I believe if you do it right, you can go 18, 18, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, but I'm not quite sure. I think it's basically like an 18, 16 is your common high two. Occasionally, depending, and I think Starfighter is going to be a little more forgiving than Pathfinder. I think we might see a lot more 16, 16, like 12, 14 kind of combinations. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that shakes out.
Well, so what makes you think that that the 16-16 what makes you think Starfinder second edition is going to be more forgiving than second edition Pathfinder?
I don't know. I just think with the use of guns and range and the less of a foot, I don't know. I don't know. I can't pinpoint it. It's not tangible, but just it just comes to, just vibes. It just because you're going to want to have a little bit more dex for hiding, covering, dodging. You're going to want to have more of the social aspect with the charisma, but then, you know, they did a pretty good job of baking them into the classes. So I think, you know, I think most people are still going to run an 18, but even in Pathfinder 2E, I've run a number of 16, 16 characters, and I totally see myself doing that in Starfinder.
Definitely. So Randall gave us a prediction. He thinks that going for your 18 isn't going to be as important in Starfinder compared to Pathfinder. Ryan, do you have any predictions for how this game might go based on what we've gone over today?
No.
I'm taking what Randall said, and I'm wondering, because Soldier is a constitution-based class, but I think I'll probably max at 16 there and try and get my strength up really high.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about Soldier is, like, if you're using that Whirling Strike, you don't even, I mean, obviously you want a good strength because of your background and your character. And you want to be good at athletics and, like, using the bulk abilities. But, like, as a soldier, you don't even really need to be very, like, strong, because you could use your constitution for the saving throw on the area attack component.
That's true.
So, like if you took a 14 in strength, you'd probably still be fine, because you'd be using con for your hit points and for your melee attack rolls. I think the one thing that you would still want strength for, because I'd have to reread the ability, I don't know if you get to add constitution to damage for that attack.
Not that I've seen yet.
Yeah, so you probably still want strength for the damage component. But in terms of accuracy, you get to use your best stat, which is also the stat that keeps you alive. My prediction for you is that you're going to have, like, a ridiculous number of hit points, and it's going to be very hard to take you down.
Especially if I'm constantly shouting, look out!
Look out! Look out! Look out! Us on No Direction Beyond. As I mentioned at the start of the channel, if you want to follow us more on anything else, make sure to go to nodirectionpodcast.com. You could join our Discord there. Reiterating what I said, it is the chillest place, and if you want to know when we're going live, we'll tell you at the last possible minute. Sometimes we try to be better than that, but I was not good tonight. I was very not good tonight. It was a thing. It's all right. But any shout outs you want to make, Ryan, since this is the first time you've been on live in, like, forever?
If you have not checked out Essence 20 yet, I recommend checking it out. It comes in Power Rangers, G.I. Joe, Transformers and My Little Pony flavors, as well as crossover flavors, or Neapolitan. And then if you are into that, you can check out my blog, which is Essential Builds, which is basically Alex's old blog, but Essence 20 flavored. Or Upshift, which is the podcast that I was doing with Jason. It is a solo podcast for now. It's not been great. I have never been good with solo podcasts. Some people like to hear my rambling. Since I've never actually said this on a No Direction Live podcast, I am the admin of Voltron official social medias. So if you like Voltron, you can check us out on Facebook and Instagram. I am the one that is curating all of that content and designing all of the wacky memes and writing all of the posts. And I've been having a great time with it. So, yeah, you can check me out in all of those places, nodirectionpodcast.com or Voltron on Facebook and Instagram.
Very cool. So, wait, if I'm
looking for group?
Oh, yeah, Looking for Group. So Looking for Group is sort of back. Looking for Group as a webcomic is on hiatus at the moment. We kind of did a wrap-up story. I was writing, I wrote it for the last year. And then, 2 years ago, I took over as the writer. And then last year we went on hiatus, and it has been a year of hiatus. So it's been 2 years since I started writing, but only 1 year of that while I was actually writing it. So we have shifted gears to do more animated projects, we are doing twofold. One, we are doing the animated shorts, which are like adapting audio from trends and whatnot, and just doing like 30-second comedic little bits. And we are also adapting the storyline into longer episodes, which will be coming out further down the line. Like right now, our animators are getting the reps in by doing the shorter stuff and getting the feel for what they could do with these characters. So yeah, if you go to Looking for Group, if you haven't gone to Looking for Group on social media in a while, you'll start seeing that we've got a lot of these animated shorts up, which just occurred to me. I don't think we've done anything on the website letting people know about these animated shorts. So we should probably be linking them back to that site. But anyway, the main place to find them is Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Just look for Looking for Group Official, I think.
So, question. You said that there's like crossover in the essence stuff. So could I play a Autobot that transforms into a pony instead of like a person if I wanted to?
Okay, so yes. The first volley of the core rulebooks that we worked on was Power Rangers, Transformers, and G.I. Joe. Okay. With My Little Pony as like something that we were going to get to in the near future. So around the same time My Little Pony came out, we also released the Field Guide to Action and Adventure, which is the book that tells you how to do the crossover stuff. And the My Little Pony book was not ready in time to include them in this. So hey, let me just find you some cool art. So here we go. Here's what Optimus Prime would look like as a Power Ranger, and here's Snake Eyes as an Autobot, and I believe that's the Yellow Ranger as a Joe. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff you can do with this book. If you want to do that with My Little Pony, we had a blog post that came out shortly before Gen Con, because Gen Con's multi-table mega event this year was the Pony Puzzle, which had a whole bunch of characters zapped over to Equestria. Some of them got ponified. And so if you wanted to ponify your G.I. Joe, Power Rangers, Transformer, or crossover character, we gave you a blog post that gave you like the crash course on what a field guide chapter on My Little Pony would be.
That's awesome. Very good.
Has been awesome.
So Brando, is there anything you want to shout out to while we have you here?
Yes. So rpgsage.io. That is the Discord bot. You can hit me up in the Discord, No Directions Discord, and I'm happy to talk to you about it. You can go to rpgsage.io and check out what the bot does. It's all about play-by-post gaming. We're system neutral, but we do have the ability to import an Essence 20 PDF and have your character on screen and roll dice from your character using the Essence 20 dice system. Also, Pathfinder 2E using Path Builder. Also, Starfinder 2E. If you get the official Starfinder PDF, you can fill it out and load it into the bot, and you'll have your character as a sheet in Discord with buttons to roll your dice.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, that's snazzy. I like it. That's a good shout out. James, do you have anything you want to shout out?
No.
Well, maybe James will have something to shout out next time. But until then, when we come back to play One Shot at Shelley's, you can go beyond with No Directions.